Also, we'll catch up this evening on inflation at 5%, and your real inflation rate is much higher, of course, because the main culprits in pushing up inflation are things like food and transport and accommodation, plus, of course, electricity. Well, I mentioned in the headline that no sooner had Peter Boone arrived in South Africa to take on the job as the new Pick n Pay chief executive than the July riots took hold, and those had a negative impact on the first 6 month results out of Pick n Pay today, and Peter Boone is with us now. How long had you been in the country by the time those riots happened, Peter?
First of all, thank you very much, Bruce, for inviting me to talk to you this evening. It's a great pleasure. I arrived in South Africa at the end of February, so I had, to be frank, a couple of months under the belt when the unfortunate events took place. And I think the best way to describe our results for the first half is a tale of two quarters. A very strong first quarter, with a growth of 9%, and of course subsequently, a second quarter whereby we were severely impacted as a consequence of trade restrictions imposed to us in relation to COVID, and subsequently the unrest and the serious impact that had on the business as well. Let's face it, on the country. And I have to say that it was heartbreaking to see what happened. As soon as we were given clearance, I've traveled to KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, speaking to my store managers, but also to our franchisee partners, which are part of the family. The devastating impact on one side, but also, I have to say, the strength and the resilience that they have shown in order to rebuild the business and get the food supply reinstated. And that was something very encouraging to see. We have, of course, been severely impacted. 212 stores damaged and looted. Two of our KwaZulu-Natal DCs severely impacted. But thanks to great collaboration by our teams, Boxer, as well as Pick n Pay, support from third parties and our vendor network, we have been able to reinstate our food supply chain in order to supply the communities in a very effective way.
It's been nothing short of extraordinary. I mean, 212 stores were damaged by looting, those two big distribution centers you refer to. But there were days afterwards where you voluntarily closed down hundreds more stores and lost nearly R1 billion worth of sales, 930 million rand in sales, as a result of operating really cautiously and saying, well, we can't put our customers on the line, we can't put our staff on the line, because we don't know just how far and wide this thing is going to run. And that uncertainty must have been incredibly unsettling as somebody who's fairly new to the country.
Yeah, correct. Of course, safety of our people and safety of our customers go first. So we closed preventively for a couple of days our 551 stores. I have to tell you, if you look in our Box Arena in KwaZulu-Natal, we closed over 100 stores preventively as well. That's one third of their total store network. But yeah, I've been traveling around the globe since the mid-90s, working in mainly emerging markets. 14 years in Asia, 4.5 years in Latin America, 4.5 years in Russia, and the last part before coming here to South Africa in Europe. So I've been able to deal with the level of uncertainty and the unknown. And I've learned one thing, and I think that is something we applied correctly here as well. When this hit us during the month of July, is remain calm and make sure that all the communication channels you have within the organization, but also when it comes to staying in contact with your vendor network, your security agencies, as well as with the local resources and intelligence services that you have, keep your communication channels open. And that I think contributed a lot when it comes to making proper as well as pragmatic decisions at the time that was needed.
But I mean, in all of your years of experience in many parts of the globe, which for many South Africans would seem to be quite daunting places to work, parts of Latin America, Russia, for example, had you ever witnessed anything like what played out in July? Not just the extent of the looting and the fact that so many people were participating, but that the state's response to it was so slow.
extent, I have to say. And I think that has been the learning curve as well the government went through. And I think the president made a statement about that, that we could have acted probably a little bit differently. But okay, there is a level of complexity, of course, attached to it. But in my 25 years of career, the adequate reaction from the government in hindsight could have been different. Nevertheless, I want to make a positive remark, and that's something I've not witnessed often, and it is the way the communities stood up in order to protect our stores, and that is something heartwarming to see. And I think that shows the strength and the resilience of this country on the other side, and that gives me as well a lot of reassurance and confidence going forward. And that is something and a big compliment to the people of South Africa.
Well, I think the South Africans, we've learned that if you don't stand up for yourself, no one else is going to. But that's slightly maybe a bit too cynical. When you were looking at the devastation, did you think to yourself, okay, this was a bad move, this was a bad call, this is not what I signed up for, this is not what the executive headhunters who proposed this idea to me suggested, this is not what the Ackermans told me was in store for me, this is more than what I bargained for?
No. On the contrary, Bruce, it even gave me more energy. I'm fully committed in order to bring Pick n Pay to its next phase of its journey where it is in. It is a company, 54 years of existence, a great brand heritage, a great brand equity, the love brand, when you talk about it, at least that's my terminology that I use here when it comes to food, grocery, retail in South Africa. So no, on the contrary, it even gave me more energy and very much committed in order to go the extra mile in that sense. And I'm not doing that alone. Eh? I'm very well equipped with a strong team around me. And we have, we work in good partnership in that sense.
So often when outside chief executives come into a business, they will bring teams with them. Are you bringing people who you've worked with in other parts of the world with you to bring the global best practice that you've learned into Pick n Pay?
No, I think we have a good pool of talents here within the organization, be it in our retail part, be it in our boxer team, be it in our clothing part, as well as the omni-channel part. And I think within the South African labor market are enough talents. And it is my responsibility, and that's something people ask me, okay, Peter, what is your main mission in that sense? Is that I work towards, first of all, bringing Pick n Pay back where it belongs, and it is to be the first shop and destination where customers would like to shop. But also it would be great that if I am at the end of my tenure, which is hopefully only in a few years from now, is that my successor comes out of our own ranks.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I think, a disappointment for Richard Brasher when, not that he was disappointed that you came, you understand this, but that he wasn't yet in a position. There was so much work to do when he took over in terms of fixing the behind-the-scenes stuff. That was his legacy, was going to those distribution centres and really enforcing them and growing those and getting the supply chain sorted out. I mean, you want your successor to be a South African, which is great, but what will your legacy be? I mean, the customer experience of Pick n Pay is often criticized, I think less so in recent years than before. But it's something that, you know, one would like to see enhanced in a very, very competitive environment, particularly, I don't know if your focus will be on the premium end where Pick n Pay and Woolworths and Checkers are slugging it out, or maybe the legacy is in the emerging market, in the cheapest end of in the market where Boxer plays and where it competes with Usave and other brands.
Yeah, first of all, I think my predecessor has done a phenomenal job. He brought stability back. Yes, you're correct. He brought centralization to the organization. Going forward, if you see, okay, where are we able to create a right to play? I think it are in different parts of the market. If you look at our first 6 months, let's talk a little bit more about the less affluent part of our business, where we are being well represented with our boxer store model, a soft discount. I think the best soft discount model the country has, over 360 stores. As announced today, the objective is to add at least 200 stores in the next 3 years in that part of the market. It's the fastest growing market. But attached to that, we have our Pick and Pay Value brand, which has shown in the first half year similar growth dynamics as Boxer. And a lot of the good learnings out of Boxer we are applying currently in the Pick and Pay Value part of our business. So that is optimizing the range, more focused on confined and private label, but also creating a different voice when it comes to communicating to our customers. Coming back to your second part of your question is when it comes to the more affluent part of the business. There, I think, as well, we started what I call the select plan. We have around and about 100 stores which are serving towards the more affluent part of the market. Yeah, and we started after some severe and good customer interviews to say, okay, where are we missing the boat today? And that is, we reintroduced new ranges, more focus on quality products when it comes to produce and meat, more healthy ranges, more innovation, more plant-based solutions, but also when it comes to routing and navigation throughout our stores. Now, we implemented that in 24 stores in the recent months. The first results are very encouraging. We do see a good uptake, up to double digits, in traffic and in sales, but we also see it has a positive impact on our basket. So it is playing chess on different chessboards. And subsequently, you have some nice new growth engines as well. Eh? If you look at our clothing business, phenomenal growth during the first 6 months with a growth of 26%. But also, I think as a consequence of COVID, and I think this applies for every grocery retailer, is that your entire digital strategy has been brought forward by at least 5 years. So as of the 1st of April, we created the new strategic pillar within Pick and Pay, and that's what we call our omni-channel value proposition. We had our scheduled delivery business in place. We have dark stores. We made an acquisition at the end of last year when it comes to the bottles acquisition, mm-hmm. and that's an on-demand delivery service, and we refurbished that a little bit and relaunched that recently. And with very encouraging research. For the first half years, our on-demand grew with 100%. And since the relaunch, over 200%, added 50,000 new customers to that app. Good strike rates when it comes to creating and better value proposition to our customers.
And I think place, The signal, Peter Boone, is letting us down. There's a bit of disruption and a bit of fallback, but I think we have completed our discussion. And I thank you very much for joining us. The maiden discussion with the new Pick and Pay chief executive, Peter Boone, arrived in South Africa in February, got his feet under the desk, just getting comfortable. Good first quarter.